Children. Children, do we have some children for Children's Church? He wants to stay. He's getting older now.
He's the only one here.
Yep.
Leah is with Shannon. She's a good mama. She takes care of all of her kids. And anyway, it's a real blessing that this has happened, even though it happened in an unusual way, a way we didn't expect. We have a child in our house, a baby. It's good because it keeps me young. We had Titus. Leah had Titus when she was 47, and now we have another. And I'm already, I'm like Abraham. I'm already old, old, old. So I don't know how many more kids I can handle, but we'll have 11 grandchildren here in another month. Anna, my second oldest, is going to have a baby also. So we still believe that God can do anything, and that even though a lot of people would say, well, these are not good times to have kids, but that's a lie. It's always good. Kids are a blessing, and the Bible says they are. And blessed is the man who has his quiver full of them. I don't know exactly what a full quiver is, but I have six kids, and I think all my children will have six kids also, so that'll be 36 kids. That's a lot. You could make a church out of that. Be awesome. God is good. He's always good. He's never does anything without hope. When you are chastened of the Lord, it's always in hope. And you will always be chastened. Israel will always be chastened. You will always be chastened. The church will be chastened. That's just the way God works. That's just the way it is. Because we are stubborn, rebellious, and we are idolatrous. And I have to deliver this message because of the Holy Ghost, but also because Jim wanted me to. And he didn't. Like Larry said, Jim always would say things in general and expect you to figure it out, like Latin. So he goes, I want you to teach on idolatry, and it's in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. And that's all he said. Okay. So I did. I did a lot of stuff. I know what idolatry is. And I knew that the church is full of idolatry. This church is full of idolatry. You can't escape it. It's in the Bible. The Jews never escaped it. From the time they received the law, saying, oh, we're going to do it, Lord. They never did it. And they always turned to idols. Why? Because idols are comforting. Because it's something you can see, you can look at, you can imagine. That's all it is. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that an idol is nothing. It's nothing. It's just something you made up. Every religion in the world is just completely, utterly made up. Baptists, Methodists, Catholics, Jews. Every religion in the world is just made up. It's just a product of man. Everything man makes is idolatrous and wicked. Everything God does is pure and holy. It's perfect. So when God makes a child like Logan just was born last night, it's perfect. Doesn't matter what it looks like, what you think it looks like, it's perfect. It's a perfect work. God always does a perfect work. He does a perfect work in you, actually, also. Anything apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. Did you know that the only way you can get in God's presence is by the blood? It's not by praise and worship. It's not by praying in tongues. It's by the blood. That's how you enter in. You can only enter in by the blood. In the Old Testament, the high priest could only go in once a year in the Holy of Holies. He had to go in with blood. Everything was sprinkled with blood. Everything. Blood, 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 blood. Now that you're a Christian, you enter into the Holy of Holies permanently. You don't go in and out. Oh, we had a good worship service. I'm in the presence of the Lord. No, you're always in the presence of God. You walk in the presence of God, even though you don't know it all the time because of all your idols. You think that you have a... And I'm going to read about this in Ezekiel. Ezekiel talks a lot about idolatry. And this is going to be a positive message, so don't worry. You just have to get rid of your idols first. Like my... My wife would be mad at me right now because I forgot to put a belt on this morning and my pants are falling down. I didn't want to make the belt an idol. I'm just kidding. Okay, this is Ezekiel chapter 14. Idolatry is in your heart. It has nothing, it did in the Old Testament, but it has nothing to do with, you know, a graven image. Like, I mean, it does, but the graven image is this thing that's in their heart. So they carved a little thing, you know, an alligator or something they could worship, because God was scary, he was big. And you could make an idol pretty small. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew word for that means a small log. It's just a small little thing you can carve, you know, make a little Buddha or something. It's just idols. But they're nothing. You just made them up. And of course, sometimes there's demons attached to them. So what? Demons are nothing. But an idol is nothing. It's just a vain imagination, a vain thought. In Psalms, it calls it a lying vanity. It's nothing. If you think, like for instance, if a man thinks he is something, being nothing, he deceives himself. So you think you're something because you're a pastor or you're something, an elder or whatever, or you're a great Christian or whatever. You're deceived. You just made an idol out of yourself. Those are the worst. In the United States, the church particularly is full of idolatry. That's why there's so much immorality. There's so much sexual immorality, it's pathetic. Because that's the way we are. If you're idolatrous, then you will be into all kinds of sin. Homosexuality, adultery, fornication, all those things, covetousness. It all comes from idolatry. Because you worship something besides God, even though you don't even realize it. Because it's just a vain imagination that you're great, you're wonderful, you're awesome, or something, or somebody else is. And pastors are the worst. They're the worst. They wear suits, and they dress up, and they call themselves pastor or doctor. They'll put a doctor in their name or something. That's all evil. It is. It's just you have a vain imagination that you're great, and you're different than the congregation. I'm exactly like you. Exactly. Now, I am called to be a pastor. Whatever, but it's nothing. I don't want to be called anything. I don't want to be called a pastor. My name is Danny. I want everybody to call me Danny. And it's nothing. I go to work every day like everybody else. I have kids. I have a wife. I have to live my life. I have the same exact sins. I have idolatry just like you do. I've been repenting for a whole week about it. Man, I didn't realize until Jim told me to teach on this how much idolatry I have in my life. Tons. So much it hurts me. It's crushing me. Because I told God, I said, God, this should be your prayer also. God, whatever it takes, I'd prayed this like, I think even before I came to Emmanuel 30 years ago, whatever it was, 28 years ago. I said, God, whatever it takes, I just want to be a Christian. I aimed pretty small. I just wanted to be, if I could just be a real Christian, I'd be so happy. Even though I was born again and all that good stuff, I knew I needed to be discipled. I knew I needed to be perfected in love, but I didn't even know what that meant. And I knew I needed to be chastened to suffer. All Christians suffer. It's just the way it is. And I didn't even know what that meant. And so I wanted to know all that because I wanted to be a real Christian. But to be a real Christian, then you can't escape God. That's the crux of the matter. Idolatry always escapes God's chastening. That's why you have idols. So you can escape God. That's why Israel always had idols, so they could escape God. And God showed me the other day, I was praying, and God said, Danny, don't escape. And I was like, what? What do you mean by don't escape? And he meant don't escape me, because you can do it. God is so kind and merciful and patient. He will let you escape. He will. Because he doesn't force evil or good. So if you want to escape God, you can do it. Just go to your idols, but you'll be just like them. Whatever your idol is, you'll become exactly like it. That's why when you make an idol out of a person, you'll end up hating them. You'll end up despising them, and you'll end up getting a divorce, whatever, because you idolize. And idols, they can't live up to their own, their own reputation or whatever. Idols are what's killing the church right now. And if we throw off our idols, repent, change our mind, turn from our wicked ways, and God will heal our land. But it's the church. It's not the land. It's not the liberals or the conservatives or the left or the right or whatever. It's not those guys, politicians. Politicians do not know what they're doing. All they're into is mammon and human trafficking and all that kind of stuff. They just love all that stuff and putting the people under their thumb or whatever. That's all they're into. But it's because that's the way the church is. That's the way pastors are. They want to rule the congregation and tell them what to do and how to live their life. Jim said something to me. All a pastor is somebody who helps. You can help a person by telling them about Jesus. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's your hiding place. He's everything. So you just need Jesus. You don't need a good pastor. Pastors are nothing. They're just nothing. I don't even know how I can say that more strongly, but a pastor is nothing. They're not a particular, this is a function. That's it. The Bible says in Romans, it's a function. It's a part of the body, and so are you. Everybody has a ministry, so everybody's the same. Whether you change diapers or preach or mow the lawn, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Amen. Yeah. And that's it. It's that simple. It's not that complicated. It's not very complicated at all. You don't have to even go to seminary. You don't even have to know Latin. You can. That would be good. Donum partum, donum totum. I like that. Listen to this. This is really good. Son of man, this is verse 3. Okay, so Ezekiel came and sat with all these elders of the land. But he's talking to the leaders, the elders, the pastors. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, notice it always says heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, and I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. How many idols do you have in your life? Multitudes. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged, that's an important word, from me through their idols. To be estranged means to turn aside into some kind of dwelling, some kind of lodge, some place where you're following Jesus, and then all of a sudden you see something a little bit more interesting. You imagine with your vain imaginations, and you lodge there because it's comforting. An idol is comfort to you, like comfort food, comfort movies, comfort alcohol, comfort whatever. All those things are due to idolatry. It's all idolatry. That's all it is. Idolatry leads to immorality, which leads to injustice. That's our whole country. That's our whole church, because it's in the church. So the church needs to repent. The church needs to change. This local church, we've got two or three people here, so we have a church here. It's two or three people, at least. So it's up to us. It's not up to us. It's actually up to God. But God has to show you these things. And it's very simple. You enter in by the blood of the Lamb into the Holy of Holies. Yeah. And you already have, because you're all born again. Yeah. So because you're in the Holy of Holies, you have to come in with sin. You can't get into the Holy of Holies all proud and righteous. Even Jesus said he didn't come to save the righteous, he came to save sinners. And Paul said, I'm a chief of the sinners. You're a chief sinner. You're the worst. There's no one worse than you. Hitler, I don't care who. No one's worse than you are. So you come in like that. I always tell the people in the house, I go, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So you always got to come to the throne boldly into the Holy of Holies. And you can't come in cleaned up. If you come in cleaned up without blood, you'll be kicked out. You come in just the way you are. Oh, I just had a wicked thought, or I just did this wicked, evil sin. Just still come boldly. How are you going to get rid of it otherwise? You're going to straighten up. You're going to be a better person or whatever. It'll never happen. You have to come boldly to the... And then in God's presence, oh my gosh, this is awesome. When you come in by the blood, then you're in God's presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence, there's pleasures forevermore. That's because that's where you're changed from one degree of glory. As you're beholding Him, you're changed. But you're like Isaiah. First, you have to be undone. You come in at first, and you're like, wow, I'm just entering into this holy place, and I'm, man, I can see. Then you can see everything. And it's okay. God's not mad at our idolatry. He just wants you to see it. He doesn't want you to escape. Do not escape through alcohol, through whatever comforts you, or a vain imagination, or some position you have, or money, or lust, or greed, or whatever, or covetousness. All those things are a lie. It's just a vain imagination that's going to do anything. It won't do anything. If you get the position you've always wanted, I always wanted to be an apostle or something. Yeah, it's just a vain imagination. That's not even up to you. Your function is a gift from heaven. It's not up to you to be a pastor. It's not even up to you. Even the Bible says, why do you boast as if it wasn't a gift? Why do you boast in what you're doing? As a matter of fact, you can't do anything for the Lord anyway. He does for you. You don't do for God. He does for you. Why you boast as if it wasn't a gift? It's just a gift. If you can teach or preach or you can do anything, it's because of God. It's a gift. Everything's a gift. A woman can have a baby, like my daughter just had, but that's just a gift. I can't do that. You know, it's just a gift. A baby is a gift. A child, a human being that's coming to this world is a gift. I don't own that baby. Even Shannon doesn't own that baby. My daughter, that baby is God. You're just a steward. That's all you are. If you're a pastor, you're actually a servant of all. If you're an apostle, you're a servant of all. If you're a father, you serve your wife. You serve your kids. That's how it is. That's how God works. If you don't, then if you lord it over them, if you say, I'm Lord, then you're just an idolater. Because you want people to worship you, you're an idolater. So that's what God does not want. The only thing we worship is God. It says an idol is nothing, because we know as Christians that there's only one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's only one God, and that's who we worship. That's who we come to for all of our problems, all of our trials. For instance, if you go to a psychiatrist for help, then that's what you'll get. He can help you, but it'll be evil. It'll be witchcraft. It'll be evil, wicked, because you're not going to God. God supplies all your needs, all your needs, all your needs, all your needs, all your needs. And when God told me that I was not to escape, I said, okay, I'm not going to, but I'm going to wiggle out of this somehow. Because we all want to, you know, I'm going to wiggle out. You know, when you're a kid and your dad's spanking you, you're kind of putting books like David used to do, put books in there. And you're trying to wiggle out of the chastening of the Lord. You know why God chastens you? Not because He's a mean God. He just wants you to be blessed. So you be partaker of His divine nature. That's your whole life. You have no other life apart from that. It doesn't matter what you do for a living, if you're a lawyer or hang blinds or whatever you do, beekeeper. Whatever we do, we just do it as unto the Lord. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. If you collect garbage, I've done everything. I bet I've had, I don't know, 50 jobs since I was 18 years old. Well, even before, I started working when I was about 12. mowing lawns and stuff. I mowed lawns. I did everything you could imagine a person could do for a living. I was a police officer. I was, gosh, I don't know. I did all kinds of stuff. I can't think of them all right now, but I was a laborer. And I went to college. I did all kinds of crazy stuff. But that's nothing to me, nothing now. Now it means nothing to me, nothing, absolutely nothing. You know, my life, I figure I got a few more years to do something, but I really don't want to do anything. I just want God to kill me. Not kill me physically, you know what I mean. I mean, I want to die. I don't want to escape God. And Christians do it every day. They're escaping God with their religion, with their goodness, with their morality, with their doctrine. You know, all that stuff is just to escape God. Israel did the exact same thing for centuries. They escaped God with their idolatry and their sin so they wouldn't have to deal with God. And then they made all these fence laws so they could outwardly look good. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew? In the Gospels, he said about the Pharisees, they made clean the outward cup, but the inward was full of, that's the Christians. We're cleaned outwardly. Yeah, we don't smoke, chew, or go with those that do, but we have idolatry. We worship people. We worship ministers. We worship anything, money, fame. The Bible calls it selfish ambition. A lot of us have selfish ambition. I do. I had to repent of that just recently. I had selfish ambition. I had all kinds of stuff, pride. But most pastors won't admit that because they're pastors. And if they did, the congregation might think ill of them. That's too bad. It's just too bad. Pastors are the ones that need to repent because they're the ones that are the worst. They're the worst. I'm telling you, they are. They have eaten the sheep. They have led them astray. They let wolves come in and kill, steal, and destroy, all so they can have money, so they can have pride, so they can look good, so they can be awesome. And they're not. I don't believe that at all. I believe that God is simple. The church is designed to be so simple, it's almost a child could do it. It's just easy. You have deacons and elders, and that's it. And all the extra local things, apostles and all those things are extra local. But it's so simple, it's not even, I don't know, it's just not complicated. Even I can do it. Even Jeff could do it. Even Clay could do it. Even Walter can do it. David could do it. David could, I mean, it's not that hard. You just have to listen. The only problem is you got to hear God. But if you're an idolater, you can't hear God. Because God will let you let your idols prophesy to you. He'll let your idols do all the work for you. And they do, and they will. Even though it's just an empty, vain imagination. It's just a total nothing. Idolatry is nothing. But it's big to God because you're worshiping nothing. You're worshiping a person or an idea of a person. That's why people get divorced. Because they're idolatrous. They're worshiping something that's not real. Well, my wife will always be pretty and or whatever. And people get old and they die. And they, you know, whatever. It's just you cannot trust in man. Horses, men, politicians, anybody who is famous or whatever, they're nothing. Basketball star, rock star. By the way, I love rock star. I always wanted to be a rock star, but that was idolatry. That was a vain imagination because I couldn't even play guitar. So I probably wasn't ever going to be a rock star. So you just have to give up your whole life. Now listen to this, verse 5. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged, profane. They are strangers to me. I don't even know them. Depart from me, you evildoers. I don't even know who you are. But God, we did all this in your name and all that. Well, you were just idolaters. For me through their idols. Therefore, say I unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces, who do we supposed to face? God. In the face of Jesus Christ. That's who we see. In the Old Testament, they could only see the hind part of God, His law. Be perfect. In the New Testament, we see Jesus face to face. Even though it's in a glass darkly, it's still Jesus. And that's your whole life. That's your only life you got. You have no other life apart from Jesus. Your life is hid with Christ in God. That's the Holy of Holies. That's where you live. Because you entered in by the blood, like we just sang that song. We entered in by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus' blood did everything. His death, His burial, His resurrection is everything to us. It's our whole life. Because that's where we enter into the presence of God, through Jesus Christ. Not by your good works or your great faith or whatever. Even though I know without faith it's impossible to please God. But that's just faith in the blood. Faith in Jesus. That's how you live. You live by faith. But it's faith in the substance of faith is not from your, it's not a virtue you have. You don't have any faith apart from Jesus. Faith is something that is from heaven. It's not from earth. It is on earth, but it's from God. It's a gift. It comes by hearing the Word of God. It doesn't come by you having some virtue or something. You have no virtue. Virtue comes through Jesus Christ. Virtue comes through your death, your burial, your resurrection with Jesus. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, this here, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's how I live. That's your only life. Everything else you do is just idolatry. It's just, you know, whatever you do. So, therefore say unto the house of Israel, verse 6, you got to repent. Change your mind. Turn away your faces from your abominations, from all your sexual immorality, from all your covetousness, from all your vain imaginations, from all your selfish ambition. For every one of the house of Israel or of a stranger that sojourns in Israel, which separateth himself from me, is setting up his idols in his heart. If you're separate from God, you just set up an idol in your heart. Don't escape. I'm telling you, this is the word of the Lord. Do not escape. You say, God, whatever it takes, I want to be a disciple. Yes. Don't say I want to be a pastor and all that. That's okay, but say you want to be a Christian, that would be pretty awesome. That's pretty rare, actually, to be a real Christian. You can be born again anytime, yeah. But I mean, to be a real disciple, to abide in His Word. Jesus rebuked the Jews for that. He said, if you believe in me, then you have to, if you want to be a disciple, he's talking to believers. He's not talking about, you know, non-believers. If you believe in me and you want to be a disciple, then you'll abide in my word, and my words will abide in you. That's how it works. Sorry. I wish there was an easier way that God would just do a magic wand over you and you could just go through these chairs like in a day or two. It's a lifetime. I'm 63 right now, and I'm just now getting this. I mean, I knew about it. I had a concept of it. Most of you have a concept of Jim's teaching. It's just in the Bible. It's not really Jim's teaching. It's just the correct doctrine. But it's never been reality to you. You've never lived it. You were more interested in what was going on with the Jews and with the Antichrist, with the whore and all those things, than you were knowing Jesus. That's evil. That's idolatry. Why not get the substance first? The foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the rock. As a matter of fact, your inheritance is already stored up for you in heaven. But that's Jesus. He's the substance of our faith. He's the substance of everything. In the Old Testament, it was just types and shadows, but we have the real substance. We have way, way more than the Jews had. It's a better covenant, better promises, better everything. And yet we're the most idolatrous people because we still love this world. We have never, ever left Egypt. When you get saved, you left Egypt behind, the world, your family, your culture, everything behind. Now, by accident, it was just the Lord. That happened to me when I got saved. I lost everything that I knew. I couldn't party anymore. I was a big partying guy. My family thought I was in a cult. My girlfriend thought I was weird. We broke up like instantly. I just said, hey, I gave my life to Jesus. I thought she'd be excited, but she was not excited. She was not excited about that. So you give up everything. You lose everything. And then after that you get crushed more and more until you're nothing. I tell God, this is my prayer. Don't pray like this, but I do. God, just crush me. Don't let me live. I don't want to live. I don't want my life. I don't want to live my life. I want you to live my life in me and through me and for me and all that. I don't want to escape. Don't let me escape. I know I'm going to try to wiggle out of it, but I'm not going to help you either. So you're in a tough, so I put God in a tough spot. And all you guys should do the same thing. And he'll come through because he's good. He loves you. And he likes that prayer because he loves to kill people. Their flesh, that is, not you, physically. I'm not talking about physically, okay? So he wants to kill you. Okay, so what's an idol? Nothing. For every one of the house of Israel or a stranger that is sojourns in Israel, which separateth himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to a prophet or to a pastor or somebody to inquire of concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. Everybody in this room, every Christian, every person actually, is responsible for themselves. My Father's iniquity will not come on me. I know the scripture you guys are thinking of right now, but there's another scripture in Ezekiel that talks about this. You're your own person. Like Larry said when he was praying, individual by individual. That means God loves you individually. You're responsible for yourself. You are not a victim. You are the victimizer. You are the one who God is after. Now, I'm going to get to the good news, don't worry. This is bad. I know you guys probably hate me right now, but... Okay, I will set my face against that man. God will. I will make him a sign and a proverb. I will cut him off from the midst of the people, and he shall know that I am the Lord. And if a prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. Even in the New Testament, it says that God's going to send them a strong delusion. And if even the elect could be deceived, that's why you need to be crushed right now. I would do it now. Because there's a time coming soon, I believe, soon, that you won't be able to do this. It'll be over. But you ought to do it now, not for yourself. Because you're okay, because you're born again and all that good stuff, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you guys are awesome. But do it for your neighbor. Death is for your neighbor, not for you, to be all awesome and feel the Holy Spirit or something, or get slain in the Spirit. It's not for that. To be dead is to love your neighbor. Chair 6, it's to love. Discipleship is all about loving your neighbor. It's for your neighbor. It's not for you. That's what makes it so awesome, is it's not for you. You're already in the Holy of Holies. You're already been redeemed by the blood. You've already been accepted in the Beloved. Now God just wants you to be in his presence all the time, all the time. Not when you're worshiping. You don't have to make a work out of it. It's just you're in his presence by the blood of the Lamb, just by faith. And when you enter in, you could walk in peace every day, all day. Not just when you're singing a song or you're worshiping or something like that. That's good too. I'm not saying, I'm not against that. I'm just saying you should work, you can live in peace all the time. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. What's wrong with that? I mean, I'll take that above my flesh, above all my idols. Because my idols are nothing. As a matter of fact, when I have an idol, I'm just miserable. They'll actually make you miserable because you have to, you know, especially if you're a Hindu or something, you got to do the little beer thing and make some beads. When I was in college, I had a roommate. He was from Thailand, and he had, this is before, way before I was a Christian, and he in his closet in my dorm room, because we had two people lived in each dorm. Man, he had an elaborate setup of beads and candles and Buddha and a bunch of idols. And I didn't know anything. I was a Catholic, so I could relate to that. You know, I had statues too, Mary and all that. But they're nothing. They're just a bunch of little trinkets. They're just toys. They're nothing. And I never even thought anything of it. I wasn't even a Christian. I was a total heathen. But I was like, I just thought, man, that guy's weird. Those things are nothing. I even thought back then, what is that? That's nothing. I mean, he still has the same, you know, problems. Nothing changed. He just has these little trinkets. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in your heart you have idols. Verse 8, and I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb. Okay, I already read that. Okay, verse 10. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity, and punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him, to the idol. That house of Israel may go, now this is verse 11, that the house of Israel may go no more astray, this is the good news, from me, neither be polluted any more with their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord. That's what God wants. He wants a people, and he wants to be your God. He's jealous over you with a godly jealousy. He's very jealous over you because he loves you, and he wants to marry you. I think that is pretty awesome. God wants to marry us, but he has to clean us up first, which is okay. It's his job. It's not your job. You do not have to clean up. You do not have to stop sinning. You don't have to be a good person. You don't have to be a good Christian. You don't have to be anything. Let God do it. He'll do it. But you can't escape. God, don't let me escape. Okay. Then he'll do it, and then it'll be hurtful. It'll hurt your flesh. But in the end, you'll have the peaceable fruit of righteousness, which is unbelievably peace, 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 peace. That passes all understanding, and joy unspeakable and full of glory. But that's your life. That's why you don't see signs and wonders that much anymore, because you're estranged from the Lord because of your idols. It's not because you don't have power. Well, you don't have power. It's because you're idolatrous. You still want Egypt. You still want the comforts of this world, the security of this world, and you don't want to live by faith. And that's it. But you don't have to do it. I'm telling you, God will do it. God will take your life and he will mold it and make it exactly what he wants it to be. But the only thing is, you have to say that, God, don't let me escape. Don't let me escape your presence. Don't let me escape your chastening. Because God deals with you as sons. If you're chastened of the Lord, you're a son or a daughter of God. And in the end, and God doesn't chasten you like an earthly father because he's mad. Sometimes we get mad and spank our kids or whatever. It's not like that. They just do it for a few days as seemeth good to them. But God does it that you might be a partaker of him, divine nature, himself. Not only chair four where you have faith and you're born again, but actually where it actually produces fruit, righteousness in your life, in reality. I always thought that was weird that people would come to this church and listen to Jim in their lives. I mean, a lot of people did. I'm not saying nobody, but a lot of people had their lives changed. I know I did. But I always thought, it was interesting to talk about it and stuff, the theology of it and all that. But I thought, man, this stuff ought to be lived somehow. I didn't even know how to do it. But I thought, man, when he teaches on the seven chairs, that was for you to live. It wasn't for you just to go home and have a good argument with a Calvinist or something. It was actually for you to live it yourself. And then you don't have any more questions. When you cease from your own works, you cease from your own questions, your own thing, then you're on your way. Because if you have a lot of questions, that means you want to know stuff. It's not even that. The Bible calls them unlearned questions. Vain gangling. It's just you're just talking. But if you actually go, if you just took a little part, 10%, maybe 5% of Jim's teachings and went home and lived it, it would change your life. It would change your life. And people don't do that. They just want to know the concept of it so they can brag about how much they know or something, or know something. But you have to actually live it. The gospel is something you live every day. It's not something you just know about, or it's a concept to you. It's something you actually live. Every day, God's mercies are new. Every day I go to God and I confess my sin. But first I thank Him and praise Him, and I enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of the Lamb. I never clean up. I never say, God, I wish I could be clean or something. I know I'm not. I don't even care about that. That's His job. If it wasn't God's job, then you have an idol. If you think you can clean up before you get into the Holy of Holies or before you come in by the blood, then you just deceived yourself. You're an idol worshiper. You just worshiped an idol, yourself. Boy, God, I cleaned up really good before I came in here. Thank God. Or I might have been struck by lightning or something like that. No, you come in just the way you are. The other day we were sitting at the table and we were talking about something, and I cussed. And Leah goes, Danny, you're supposed to be a pastor. It's like, yeah, whatever. I just laughed because I was like, man, you just can't. You're just a person like everybody. I mean, it's normal. It's just every day but you can't count it. If you have guilt, which we did, I grew up a Catholic, I always had guilt. And if you have consciousness of sin, then you don't know Jesus. If you're guilty about your sin, you don't know Jesus. You got to go to the blood covers everything. The blood is all the power, where all the forgiveness of sin is. But the blood does not change you. It just gets rid of your sin. The guilt, the consciousness. Remember it says in Hebrews, all those sacrifices the Jews did, all the bulls and the goats and the pigeons and everything they sacrificed, did not one thing get rid of sin. None of it. Not even once. There was still a consciousness of sin. But I don't walk like that anymore. I say, Jesus, thank you for your blood. Doesn't mean I'm excused myself. It means quite the opposite. It means I know God showed me a sin and He's gonna get me. Good. It's going to be a good get, not a bad get. He's going to not let me escape until He crushes that thing. And then He does it the next day. And then He does it the next day. And then He does it the next day. And just keeps doing it every day until I die. Every day until you die or go to be with the Lord or rapture, whatever you believe. You will die. You'll have to come to God every day and worship Him and thank Him and let Him deal with your sin. You cannot deal with your sin. The smallest little sin. I smoke one cigarette a day. I'm just using it. I don't know anything about that. I'm just saying. You can't overcome it. You just can't. At least I'm that way. And my wife is a little bit better at that because she's a good person, but I'm not. So I have to every day come to God and say, God, this is a little idol I have, just a tiny little idol, a little sin I have, but I can't get rid of it. He goes, good. It's good for you. He's the only one that can do it. I can't do it. I can do nothing. I can do nothing, 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 nothing. Once you're a nothing, and come out from underneath the law, which is idolatry too, by the way. If you keep a law, you're idolatrous. Just the way it is. So I come out from underneath the law and I come under grace. Grace has mercy and power. The law made nothing perfect. Nothing. It can't. It says that the Bible's not even able to do so. It can't even... If there was a law given that could give life, righteousness would have been by the law. But it's not by the law. So I have to come out from underneath the law, under grace, where all the mercy and the power is, so I know God's merciful. You know, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. That's His mercy. It's His loving kindness. So I go for mercy every day. I never go for law. As a matter of fact, I go, God, thank you that I'm not under any law today. I'm not under any obligation to help anybody, to do anything, to be anything. I'm free. And then I go, but I go, thank you, God, that whatever happens today, it'll be a miracle. And that's okay. And God does it. So I'm no longer in chair one, but I'm no longer in chair two either, which I hate chair two with a passion. Probably because that's where I live most of my life. So if you're a hypocrite, then you're a hypocrite. You're an idolater. You're wicked. Jim should have drove did a devil right there too, right behind those fig leaves. Because that's how we live. We're demonic, evil every day. Your flesh will not submit itself to God. It's not able to do so. Your flesh, the fruit of your... If you read Galatians chapter 5, a fruit of your flesh is idolatry. It's the main fruit. It's the big fruit, the big jackfruit. You ever seen jackfruit? It's like, God, it's huge. I was in Uganda, and I went to see the orphans, and I walked. I thought those trees were deformed or something. I thought there was kind of a fungus growing on them. They were huge. And he goes, oh, no, that's jackfruit. We eat that. And I was like, what? They were like bigger than basketballs. They were huge. So I don't know why I said that, but anyway, they have big everything in Africa. You think things are big in Texas? Everything is huge in Africa. Everything. Okay. So idolatry, just to kind of sum this up and then I'll be over. Idolatry, an idol is nothing. It's just a vain imagination. That's it. Casting down... says in Corinthians, I think it's in Corinthians, casting down vain imaginations or anything that exalts itself above the name of Jesus, that's idolatry. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about, you know, some kind of wimpy sin or something. It's talking about idolatry. So if you can get rid of idols, you can pretty much overcome all your sin. Because idolatry is what makes your, gives your, it's like the law, it gives sin its strength. When you have idolatry, you have every evil work. Covetousness, you can read it in Galatians, and you can read it in other, Colossians, I think, talks about this too. Especially covetousness. If you're coveting something, a position, it doesn't have to be a thing. It can be an imagination or something. If you're coveting something besides Jesus, then that's an idol. Like, if, let's say you wanted to be in the ministry, you wanted to be a pastor or some kind of, have some position and a title. Well, that's idolatry. That's wicked. And it's in the church. Rampant. Especially back, I remember back in the charismatic days, it was bad. Everybody wanted to be the head guy and prophesy and all that kind of stuff. That's all wicked. You have to die to all that. You have to die. Everything God gives you, you die to it. God gave me a new car. Well, a week later, it's all scratched up or something. I don't know. It's just you're not going to win with God. I always tell God that. God, I'm not going to win with you, am I? No, you're not. Because you already prayed. It's too late for me, so you got to pray for me because I already said, God, I will not escape. Yeah. I'm going to try to escape, but don't let me. Keep me. God can keep you. You can't keep yourself. I can't not escape. God has to keep me from escape. That's why my prayer was, because He told me that. I knew He was going to do it. And it killed me. It made me cry. It made me angry. It made me whatever. Because I knew I wasn't going to escape anymore. Because I've been escaping all my whole life. Through the law, through goodness. Because I'm a nice guy. or I'm a man pleaser or whatever. I escaped a lot, but now I can't escape anymore because I have no, you know, I'm 63, and sin, when you get old, you flee youthful lust. You got nothing. Youthful lust is, you got some, you have a little substance to you. You got youthful lust. But when you're old, you don't have that because you're old. You're too tired to have youthful lust. Anyway, so I don't know, that's not godly. I know it's probably bad to say that. But anyway, you're not going to win with God. He's going to win out on your life. When you die, you'll be so blessed. When you're dead, physically dead, you'll be blessed. And that sounds weird, but it's true. Precious, precious to God is the death of his saints. Why? Because he knows their warfare is over. I mean, even though Jesus does all of our fighting for, we still live in this world, so we still have angst. We still have things that we go through, you know, pain. You know, the other day I stuck my hand in something, pinched it. Man, it would not let go, and it was crushing my, man, it hurt. So we have, that's just physical pain, but we have all kinds of pain. We have pain because we love people and they're not, you know, and they're hurting because they're on drugs or, you know, whatever. And we hurt because people aren't Christian, they're not saved, loved ones. We hurt for ourselves. We hurt for Peggy, when Jim died and the kids. It hurt us to where we wept. It says, weep with those that weep. So we wept and we cried and all that kind of stuff. But that's over. For Pastor Jim, that's all over. For Monica, she didn't have to worry about that anymore. She is tear-free, anxious. She has no, I mean, it's perfect. She's entered into glory. And one day we'll see her, and we'll all go in together to the bride chamber, and we'll all marry Jesus, and it'll be awesome. It'll be a party. It'll be a big party. And it'll be fun and awesome, and we'll be dancing in the presence or whatever. I can't describe it because I've never been there, but all I know is what the Bible says. And, you know, God's building a house, and I'll close with this because it's almost 12:30, is God's building a house. It's not a mansion. It's not a house. It's you. You're the house that he's building. You're his dwelling place. You are actually the Holy of Holies. You're actually what God's building. Because he wants to dwell. He wants you to be his people, and he wants to be your God. There'll be no more idols. There'll be no more pain, no more suffering, no more chastisement, none of that. There'll be no more flesh, devil. There'll be no more world. All the wicked will perish. I just read that in Psalms. Read Psalms 32. It sounds like the wicked aren't going to make it. But we're going to make it because we're not wicked, right? We are wicked in our flesh, but we're not. The Bible calls us saints. He calls us his beloved. He calls us the children or our sons. God has a lot of tender mercies towards us, loving kindness towards us, so much so that he fills the earth with his goodness. Every day I see it. I don't care if I'm driving in Dallas. I drive all over the Metroplex. Wherever I drive, I see how God's a blessing people, even the wicked, even the animals. They get food, and somehow, up in the mountains, those white things, those goats, whatever they're called, mountain goats, they have food. Everybody has food to eat. So he takes care of the birds, the sparrows. He feeds all of us. He gives us jobs so we can make money, so we can have a dwelling place. He does all that. That's all God. I never look at that as man's economy and all that kind. I always look at it as God. Like, me and Lee were driving one day. We go, man, all these people have jobs. It's a miracle. You know, it's a miracle we're still going. Look at all the evil stuff that's going on in the United States right now. We're still going. So I don't know how we're making it. We must have a God. Yeah. Right? Yeah. God must be real. And he is. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will always take care of you to the end. Don't worry about, I took the mark, or don't worry about all that stuff. That's silly. If you want to be kept by Jesus Christ, he'll keep you in his palm of his hand. You can jump out if you want, but don't. Just stay in his palm. Just say, God, don't let me escape, because you will try to escape, by the way. I have. I do every day. God, if I could just escape your chastisement today, it'd be great. If I could just go drink a beer or something, I don't know, watch TV or something, I could escape this pressure or whatever you want to. But no, in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. There's peace. Everything you want is in the presence of the Lord. So come in by the blood. The blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. Don't come in by your good works. Don't come in by your keeping the law or being a good person or anything. Don't come in like that. Just come in exactly the way you are. Well, I'm a drug addict. I'm on drugs. And I just had an affair or whatever. Just no. Just come in. Might as well. God loves that. He loves it when you come in with all your sin because that's his job. Jesus deals with sin. The Holy Spirit convicts you of sin. Jesus cleanses you with his blood. And then the Holy Spirit continues to chasten you so that you'll actually get rid of the sin in your life. Actually, he's doing it. You're not doing it. All you're doing is assenting to it. God, whatever it takes, I want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it takes. I don't care my title. I don't care if I wash dishes, if I pick up trash. I don't care what I do. I don't even care about all that. I just want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will do that. You humble yourself, that you'll be exalted. But you don't even care about being exalted. You're just glad you made it. Right? I barely made it. But that's all you care about. You don't care about the other stuff, the function you're doing or whatever. And if you're like that, blessed are you. Because then you have no pressure to be good or bad. You have no pressure to be anything. A pastor, a deacon, an apostle, a prophet, evangelist. There's no pressure. That's all God's deal. Let him worry about that. I always tell God, it's none of my business. That's none of my, what you do is none of my business. You're God. I'm not. So don't worry about it. If you read the Bible, for instance, you don't understand something, so what? You're not God. You won't understand everything. Like Joyce said, it's donum partum. You only get partial. A down payment. That's why you got the Holy Ghost. He's the down payment. God himself is the down payment, and he's actually the paying off the mortgage thing too. He does everything. He is the house. You're the house. He builds the house. He's the owner of the house. He's everything. And you're nothing. But God loves nothings because he can deal with that. But if you have an idol, then you're something. If a man thinks he is something, being nothing, he deceives himself. Remember I told you the idol is nothing? A man's nothing. Men are the idols. We idolize men. Oh, she's a supermodel, or he's a great basketball player, or he's a great pastor, or he's something, whatever. Just people. They're just regular people like you that sin all the time. So anyway, God is good. I hope you're blessed. But God loves you, loves you, loves you just the way you are. You don't have to be a clean up on the outside and look good. You don't have to do anything.
Praise the Lord for that.
So let's pray. But ask the Lord, that when you go home today or in your prayer time, say, God, don't let me escape. Do not. I told him, be emphatic about it too. Do not let me escape. But you're kind of, I tell you, when you say it, you'll have something in your flesh will rise up and say, nah, you better not pray that prayer because it might be the end of you, and it will be the end of you. So, Father, I thank you for this people in this room. I thank you for the church of Jesus Christ, whom you said you would build it and the gates of hell would not prevail. So we're going to let you build it. That's none of our business how you build your church. We thank you, Father, that you're coming, that Jesus Christ is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and we don't understand that. But we know you're doing that. But do it in our lives, Father. Every one, individual by individual, get rid of all of our idols, all of our sin, our covetousness, all the things that keep us from your presence. Let us come in not by our goodness, not by us getting rid of the sin, but just come in boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace in time of need by the blood of the Lamb. So thank you that you sprinkled us, you covered us, you washed us in the blood, just like it says in Revelations. All those guys that got their heads chopped off, it said that they all wore white robes, washed in the blood of the Lamb, spotless, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's us. And do it, God, not just imputed to us, not just given to us as we're not active, but where we're actually active in love. Let that be a reality in our lives so that we might bear fruit by signs and wonders, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by gifts and all those things, Lord. But let us not look at those things. Let us not keep it. Our eyes are on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you for that. Thank you for delivering us, Lord, oh God, from all of our idols, from all of our vain imaginations. Deliver us, oh Lord. Set us free, and we can't help you. Sorry, we just can't. I know you're not sorry. You know we can't help you. We can't help you, Lord. We just assent to it. We just say, do it. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come. And we thank you for all these things, and we thank you for blessing this people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace that passes all understanding, and be gracious to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus.